Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. As we've been waiting patiently to get into this whole thing of, well, golly, are tongues really for today or not? Is this something that is part of the spiritual experience for believers or not? As you know, it seems very evident to me that the Bible teaches very clearly as we go through your rejection, personally, of an idea or a concept is personal for you. And it might impact your life a little bit. But it doesn't change God. God is God, whether you and I, whether we believe it or not, or believe him or not, God is still God. And I think when we start off at these points, it's very important because we can come to the scriptures with these preconceived ideas of, well, this is scripturally right, this is not scripturally right, and we start getting things boxed in. And our tendency in humanity, our tendency is to get things to where we understand them. That's our natural tendency. And I understand that, but I also know that there's something significant about that we have to pay attention to, and that is, if God is something that you can fully comprehend, understand, and know, I would not follow him. God needs to be bigger than you. He ought to be bigger than you. And our God is. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration because he is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He can be all places at all times. God is worthy of your worship and my worship and our adoration. God's worthy of that. And as we kind of get started on this thought, I think that idea of understanding that because I don't fully grasp how something works with God doesn't mean that it isn't true or valid. Because I found many times on the flip side of those who say, well, I'm not sure about the gifts, if the gifts are really for today, that how that works, how that fits in. And we can start getting to this place where we are deciding really what God can and can't do. And I think those are dangerous grounds on just subjective thought. I understand God's not going to violate his own word, so I get that. But the reality of this is we get into the gifts of the Spirit and the thinking of the gifts of the Spirit. I believe the gifts are for today. I don't think there's any restriction on the gifts for today whatsoever. And I think the Bible's very clear on that. And yet in our gatherings, we don't have a circus-y thing going on, do we? Have you seen anything like that that's circus-like or flamboyantly odd or anything like that? And yet we teach and believe that the gifts are for today, that we are dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this throughout the book of Acts. And if we're going to model ourselves as an Acts-style ministry, then we have to be open to the moving and the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that would involve even the miraculous, certainly. And that would involve the life-changing, transforming power of God. When we get started on this, I as we start reading through the first few verses of chapter 14, I think it's real important when we talk about the gifts that your objective and my objective is to desire the giver more than the gift itself. It really is significant. God determines, as we saw, as we had read through in chapter 12, that he decides what gifts and how he wants to operate those gifts in believers' lives. That's his sovereign decision. There's sovereignty involved. And so we just have to be open vessels to God's choosing how he wants to operate and move in and through our lives. The gifts are given, And our desire is to utilize them within the confines of Scripture and within the empowerment that the Spirit supplies so that it's God at work. I think that's very important. And I think it's very significant that you and I are desiring the presence of God first and foremost. Do I really want God? When I talk about the presence of God, I'm hoping that we're kind of on the same page of what I might be referring to on this. There are those times, I'm hoping, that most of us can go back to some points in time and reflect and say, no, I distinctly sensed his presence in an overwhelming, powerful way, that I sensed God there in that moment, in that place. Now, as a pastor, my desire would be that as we gather, we would sense that regularly. I think that's something that we should be looking for, aspiring to experience. I think that's legit. By faith, I know he's here with us right now. I know Jesus is here. I know God is amongst us. And I know God loves us and wants to do a work in each of our hearts and through each of our lives. There is that aspect of wanting God, wanting his presence, wanting him to reveal himself. And there's a sense of awe that comes across our hearts. Now, when I'm talking about some of this, I know there are times, you know, I don't like a manufactured, hey, raise your hands now, put your hands down, raise your hands now, clap now, do the, you know, I mean, I can go to calisthenics all day long, go to, you know, yoga classes or whatever and do all that stuff. I'm not talking about that kind of worship. But do you understand what this is? How many of you really know what that is? One, hey, that's a universal sign. I surrender. I had to buy a new shirt that was long enough so when I went like that, it didn't. I had to prepare for today. You know what that is? That's a universal sign. I surrender. That's what that is right there. I surrender. And right now I can sense it. I know it. The thought of doing this, what I'm doing right now, your hearts are hard. You're hard because you don't want to humble yourself. You don't want to just say, I surrender to the one true living God. You know what else that also does? It's disarming. There's no weapons. It also is a display of open palms wanting to receive from God. Just to receive from the Lord, to receive whatever he has for us in that moment, in that day. We've either made it an exercise in futility, where we just do it because we want to look spiritual, which is a bummer. Or we don't do it because somebody said what I just said, so now we don't want to be acting like we think we want to be spiritual. Or there's the flip side of that where we just don't care what anybody thinks about anything, and we want to say, I humble myself, I'm disarmed, I surrender, and I want to receive from you, God. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a very liberating thing. Not to be done to try and be somebody, but I'm just saying it's a very liberating, and I'm telling you, I know in your hearts right now, this is what I'm saying is the truth, isn't it? Why? And then we're not sure why the gifts aren't, why God's not, because that's the heart that God wants to invest in and pour his spirit out upon. That's the work of God. God wants to work in that heart. But when we're like this, God's just like, but isn't that culturally, this is kind of, we're in this dueling place, aren't we, culturally? Because we get polarized by, well, I don't believe the gifts are for today, you know? And we get polarized and we're resisting the presence of God potentially. Or we go into this extreme thing and we just say, oh, this is what it's all about. It's all about me feeling something And it's all this emotionally charged thing. Let's find the balance in this. Let's read through this chapter 14 together and just look at the balance of this and see what God has to say. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, what is prophecy? And he's going to tell us in just a minute how it plays out. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So if you have a pen, you know, you might want to mark for sure that you see the distinction. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So the idea is then that the Spirit is giving utterance and they're sharing something and they're proclaiming something or speaking something Godward. This is important. This is significant. This matters because it's an understanding of why sometimes we've been places and something doesn't seem like that fits right or it doesn't mesh right. Because a tongue is used to speak Godward. That's one of the significant things. It's praising him, glorifying him, magnifying him. It's prayers to him. It's that type of Godward expression. This is a very important thing because sometimes you'll hear someone speaking in a service in a tongue, and then you'll notice someone else gives some interpretation, but it's directed at people. And it says, little children, do that, you know, you should, or whatever it is, and it's directed at people, but that can't be the interpretation because the tongue was Godward. Something happened. Now, I'm not saying both aren't spiritual, mind you. I'm just saying, what did we start off when we started in the gifts? That there is an ignorance, an unawareness, and a lack of information, a lack of application of the scriptural truth and understanding of. So the idea is it doesn't nullify that, either of them. Let's read on and let's see what it says about prophecy. But he who prophesies speaks. Notice there's three components here. There's edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So now that is, so I think sometimes what we've had happen when we've seen this in various settings and situations, some of us, you've been exposed to more of this than others maybe, but you've heard this. And so the tongue was legit in that they were just using their prayer language. They were expressing themselves to the Lord. Legit. That's great. Praise the Lord. Awesome. But the interpretation then that followed that was really a prophecy. It wasn't necessarily something that was directly related to that tongue. Now, why does some of that happen? I'd like to give you a simple, this is the simple version of this, is that I think sometimes someone speaking out and doing that might empower the next person, in a sense, to go ahead and step out by faith and just say what God's put on their heart to say, even though in the spirit it may not really be what they thought it was, as in that there was a tongue and there was interpretation. That's just, this is my vantage of this. This is from years of observation and being around this kind of thing, that's what happens sometimes. And I think if there's a gentle way to bring that around and to share in a setting like that, in a small group prayer meeting or something where someone, that kind of thing might happen, you say, hey man, I think that was kind of a word from the Lord, maybe more of a prophecy. And you know, that's great. You can continue with your prayer language, but if you would, maybe you could just keep that more to yourself because that's not, we really didn't get an interpretation for that. Because as we get into chapter 14, we'll get instructions on how this really is to go, how that really plays out. So the one who prophesies speaks edification. And you remember edification, simple definition of edification is to build up, to build someone up, to build that person or that group up, to be built up in the Lord. Exhortation really is a word or something that is an encouragement, a admonition to move forward. It's a strong push, you know, in a sense, in the spirit, but it's very encouraging. It's encouraging us to move forward. It's encouraging us to, so it's not just a knock in the head, you know, as it were, an exhortation. It's more of encouraging. There's this movement behind it. And again, coupled with that idea to edify, to build up, and then encouragement or exhortation, and then comfort to men. to console. Okay, so the word of Christ might be something that's to console, to bring comfort, but it's also there to strengthen. So oftentimes, you know, you'll reflect back and you'll think, that might have been little children, you know, wait patiently on the Lord, stand fast in his ways. Do not retreat, but keep moving. You know, so you get these, you can think back and you'll think, man, I heard a lot of things like that. That wasn't necessarily not from God. It's just the matchup of how it was being perceived might have been skewed a little bit. And sometimes it lends itself to an element of a little bit of confusion. And I think it's just a lack of clarity. You know, if we aren't clear on our practices or how we handle those practices that we have, it results in something that can be somewhat restless with inside of a group. And so we want to be clear on how these things actually really work and how it moves. So prophecy is more something that is not necessarily just God's word, but it's more from God's heart and then is expressed to men and women for their lives on an application format, so to speak. It's kind of giving God speaking through and giving us something that we ought to do. I believe some of this takes place when we just simply teach through the word, to be honest with you, in a spirit-filled, open environment that God can be speaking in these ways, both edification, exhortation, and comfort as we go through his word. The word is prophetic in itself in that spiritual sense. But I do not believe that just because it was good preaching that made it prophetic, because that's not necessarily the case, because that can just be a well-crafted message, and we should just say, wow, that was a well-crafted message. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean it was prophetic or prophecy. There is that idea in prophecy, not only is there a forthtelling, but there is that idea that it lends itself out into the future a bit. It's that concept of something that's pushing forward. Now, this idea of, because there's so much around us today with prophecy and people wanting to, you know, in certain gatherings, there's times where people come up and they just want to prophesy over you. And that can be cool if that's really from the Lord. But sometimes it can get really distant and cannot really tie into anything that has anything to do with your life. And everybody's kind of left like, well, you know, not sure what do you do with that? You know, so for me, I'm just going to give you, this is when it's on a polite day for me. That would be kind of like this. I would just kind of tuck that away and say, hey, man, that's great. Thanks, man. But I just tuck it away inside my heart and I just wait and see what God's going to do. Because likely if someone comes up and says, you know, the Lord's spoken to me and said that you were going to sign the title of your car over to me, you know, that you just finished paying off. You know, I'm not saying that can't happen from God. I'm not saying that can't happen. But the likelihood of that and the likelihood of your response being favorable is limited. That's definitely one you'd tuck away, wouldn't you? You'd tuck that away and say, well, I'm going to wait and think on that a little bit. I'm giving you some ideas I know that seem kind of extreme in some ways, but I'm trying to get us to get to a place where we can develop a balanced view of the work of God's Spirit and understand God is moving in these ways, but maybe not so much in the ways that people are trying to make it, because people are trying to make it something that has more to do with them so that they're seen as the person that goes and puts hands on people and gives prophecies. Now, I'm not saying some people don't have more of a gifting towards some of this, but again, notice what it says. It is to build up, to encourage, to console, or strengthen. Those are the things that should be going on when you're hearing that. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So it's something that is edifying to a believer to have a gift of tongues. Now, is the gift of tongues is that the evidence? As some would say, is that the evidence then that God is present in your life? That the Spirit has come upon you? You know, I see things in Scripture that, you know, would somewhat support that, because we see oftentimes when the Spirit fell, people did speak in tongues, but that is not the supreme manifestation or evidence. I really believe that the Scriptures are clear that it is love is that main evidence of God's presence in our lives. It's the main focus, because it all comes out of that love and God working in and through us. But it's edifying between God and the individual. That's building edification, again, building the person up in their journey with the Lord. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. And he's just saying it is more useful within the body, the gathering, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So unless there was an interpretation regarding that, that there would be this ability to communicate that, then it's really not as useful to the whole gathering. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? He says, unless I have divine revelation from the Lord and insight in knowledge that draws us closer to the Lord, prophesying, as we've just discussed, that would either be through edification, exhortation, comfort, or by teaching, giving some clear instruction from the Lord. If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by? He goes, if I come doing that, what is the advantage if you can't understand what's been said? What benefit does that benefit you? And so I think therein lies some of the rub, so to speak, or the concern of what happens when we maybe go to a gathering and we hear all this stuff going around us, and then the minister gets up and starts talking, and then all of a sudden in the middle of his thing, he starts going off in his prayer language, and Alibaba Shalibaba stuff starts happening, and he's like, what? I thought we were talking about this. Now, what is that? That's the common response. Now, that might be edifying for the brother there, but that's not what you're doing here. We're supposed to be communicating in a way that there's something tangible that's going to happen in our lives where we can grasp some simple truth and grow in that simple truth. In verse 7, Paul says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, he just uses this an instrument for example, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So basically, language has a basis of understanding by distinction, right? That makes sense. This sound means this. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you.
You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.